from D. James Kennedy Ministries. This is Kennedy Classics. Welcome to Kennedy Classics.
Hello, I'm Frank Wright. Welcome to Kennedy Classics, part of the media ministry of Dr. D. James Kennedy. We invite you to visit our website at djameskennedy.org, where you'll find a vast library of excellent digital, audio, video, and print resources. Imagine being given a gift of incalculable value. This gift is so precious that you carry it with you wherever you go. But it is not just valuable to you alone. This gift is also highly valued by others who know you well. Imagine also that at some point you find yourself in circumstances that are so difficult as to be seemingly overwhelming. And amid the confusion and stress and anxiety of your situation, you unaccountably throw this most precious gift away, being persuaded that this is the best option available to you. This is, of course, a very weak metaphor for suicide, wherein those who are given the gift of life reach a place of despair so deep that they throw the gift of life away. It is a weak metaphor because in reality, suicide is casting away a gift given by God Himself, having fashioned us in His own image. Yet as tragic as suicide is for the one who has lost hope and the ones left behind, we move from tragic to sinister as we consider the latter-day emergence of advocates for suicide. These are the directors of death who, like Ebenezer Scrooge, have made it a personal mission to decrease what they see as the surplus population. These are those who propose, with fine-sounding words, that suicide is a viable option for life's trials and tragic circumstances. Well, is it? Is suicide a viable option? Here is Dr. D. James Kennedy with his message, Modern Myths, Suicide, a Viable Option.
Our scripture lesson today is taken from the 8th chapter of the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 8, and we shall begin our reading with verse 32. May we hear the inspired and infallible word of the living God. Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instructions, and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me, findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. And may God speak to our hearts this day through this portion of his holy word. May his name evermore be praised. Amen. Today, the myth that I would like for us to consider is this: suicide is a viable option. Now, no one who has read the newspaper or listened to the news for the past few months could possibly have failed to have heard about Dr. Jack Kevorkian and his death machine, his suicide contraption, or the best-selling book Final Exit by Derek Humphrey, co-founder of the Hemlock Society. Yes, indeed, there is something abroad in our land, and it is death It is stalking our country like a ghastly giant. And it is very, very serious. In fact, Dr. Arthur Kaplan, who is the director of the University of Minnesota's Center for Biomedical Ethics, said that the great issue and event, the most significant medical issue of our time, in fact, the history of our country, is not artificial hearts or even grandmothers giving birth to their own granddaughters, but it is this matter of doctor-assisted suicide, because he says it breaks with a more than 2,000-year-old tradition that says, in the words of the Hippocratic Oath, that doctors shall do no harm. The seriousness of it could further be underlined by pointing out that it has been written that the Nazi Holocaust and all of the incredible atrocities there could finally be traced back to a very small beginning. It was the blurring of the line between healing and killing on the part of physicians. And it was the small issue of what to do about the non-rehabitable sick that began the whole thing. What do you do about those who are not going to get well? Well, that was a very little thing, but it was a first step down a slippery slope that led to Auschwitz. But it is indeed a slippery slope. 20 years ago, when Roe v. Wade was passed, there were many of us who were saying that that was indeed the first step down that slope, and it would lead to infanticide and suicide and euthanasia. There were those that mocked and said that was ridiculous, it would not happen at all. And yet, my friends, it is happening. In case you don't know, last year, more than 5,000 babies already born were left to die, NPO, nothing by mouth, in the hospitals of America. Infanticide is alive and well in our country today. And legalized suicide is just around the corner. There is a very small step between doctor-assisted voluntary suicide and doctor-assisted involuntary suicide. Now, some of you will say, well, now that is an exaggeration. Why, certainly we wouldn't have doctors doing anything like that. Is that a fact? Keep in mind, it was with the doctors that all this began in Germany. And if you want a more modern illustration, there is one country where it is quasi-legal and most definitely allowed, if not legalized, and that is the Netherlands, where doctor-assisted suicide is now become, in the last several years, a common practice. In fact, in the nation of the Netherlands, 130,000 people die each year. Last year, 2,300 of them were voluntary doctor-assisted suicides. But listen to this. As Charles Krauthammer put it, there is a good reason why the categorical Hippocratic taboo is so ancient and so universal. A license to kill inevitably corrupts the doctor and endangers the patient. Euthanasia, once permitted, is not as easily contained as its promoters pretend. How do we know? Because in the nation of Holland, which just in the last 2 years has allowed this, last year, according to the government report, there were 1,000 doctor-assisted involuntary suicides. Now, let me say that again in case any of you missed it. Last year in Holland, According to the government reports, there were 1,000 doctor-assisted involuntary suicides. Now, we are used to calling that murder, and that is precisely what it is. But you see, we don't call things what they are. And this means that killing patients without their permission is becoming commonplace now in Holland. And it is simply up to the doctors, the article says, to decide whether or not you should be healed or put to death. You want to be careful if this goes through about your next doctor's appointment. It might be your last. Bioethicist Leon Cass has said, "The line between voluntary and involuntary euthanasia cannot hold. It never has, and it never will." Ask the survivors of Auschwitz. But they don't call it killing, you know, any more than we call the baby in the womb a baby. It is, first of all, killed verbally, as it is transmuted into products of conception, or maybe just POC. And so it is with this matter of the murder of oneself. It's called other things like death with dignity. Now that has such a nice ring to it that people everywhere are flocking to its banner. But may I remind you, my friend, that there are some virtues in this world that are more important than dignity. I want you to know that when our prisoners of war in Vietnam had been captured by the Viet Cong and they were having their hands tied behind them and lifted up until their arms were coming out of the socket and they were screaming with pain, that was extraordinarily undignified. Indeed, they should have been traitors with dignity and simply told them anything that they wanted to know. When a soldier is posted by his commanding officer to watch at a certain post, maybe in the midst of a snowstorm, his feet are killing him because of the cold. He's trembling all over in a very undignified way. And he decides that he will be a soldier with dignity. And so he goes into the pub to warm himself up and have a cup of hot coffee or ale. I'm sure that the court-martial will not consider dignity to be the all-surpassing virtue. When Jesus Christ, naked, was lifted up on a cross, it was extraordinarily undignified. He was the object of ridicule and scorn and laughter and mockery. Indeed, he should have come down and reclothed himself in his robes that he might have reclaimed his dignity. But he felt that there were other virtues more important merely than dignity. And it's called Final Exit in the popular best-selling book by the title. But you know, it's an interesting thing. There's an element of truth in that, but it's never brought out. It is a final exit because the place to which they go, namely hell, has no exit. This is indeed their final exit. Now let me make something very clear. There are those seated right here who have no doubt lost loved ones to suicide. I believe, and most theologians would agree, that it is possible even for a Christian to have temporary or even permanent insanity, loss of the rational faculties, and therefore even a believer could, under such a mental state as that, commit suicide without the forfeiture of his soul. But Derek Humphrey, author of Final Exit, says on the cover of his book that he is offering self-deliverance. Well, my friends, we ought to keep in mind that we are not only delivered out of something, but we are delivered into something, and that something is never discussed at all. Because you see, such discussions are taboo under the smoked dome of secularism. There is no thought to be given of the future life. And so many people, supposing themselves to have obtained their ease, have merely leaped out of the frying pan into the fire. God has made it very clear, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit murder, and we shall not commit murder of our neighbor or our brother, our mother or father, or of ourselves. We are not our own. It's interesting that in Roe v. Wade, the argument was given that they simply wanted women to have the autonomous control of their own bodies. Now, isn't it fascinating that Humphreys, in Final Exit, posits his argument simply on the fact that a person needs to have the autonomous control of his own body? But, my friends, the problem is, it's not your own. Know ye not that ye are bought with a price and that ye are not your own? Nor is your life simply some chemical or biological accident, some concatenation of amino acids in some ancient primordial slime. But it is a divine gift given unto you by God. It is sacred and inviolable. And it is not to be taken and flung back into the face of God thanklessly. We are doubly not our own. We did not create our life. It was created by God. And beyond that, God even came into this world and died in great agony to redeem it. So it is twice His, by creation and redemption. It is not our own autonomously to do with as we will. Ye are not your own. We are not to desert the post that our captain in the well-fought fight has set us to. The history of Western civilization and Christianity is replete with those who have suffered all sorts of things for the sake of Christ. But today we live in a world where materialistic and this worldly thoughts are all that there is, and therefore they give no thought. Think of all of the millions of martyrs that died very undignified deaths, being mauled by lions or tossed about by bulls in the Colosseum, eaten by dogs or bitten by snakes or burned alive. The Bible says that it is given unto us not only to believe in Christ, but also to suffer for His sake. And that through suffering, Christ learned obedience, and through suffering, God indeed cleanses and perfects us. And we are not to desert that post which God has set us to. We are indeed then deserters from the army of God. So we are not to murder ourselves. We are not to fling back the gift of life that is given to us. And we are not to desert our post. Why then do we have this specter of death everywhere in our country today? If God is not in the death business, somebody must be. Now, we can say it is the humanist and the atheist and the secularist that are, and surely they are. Our text says, all they that hate me love death. And notice what all of these secularists and unbelievers love. They love abortion. They love the death of infants, infanticide. They love suicide. They love euthanasia. They love death. Because they are at enmity with God, they hate God. God said that, not I. That is their basic problem. But beyond all of the isms of this world, my friends, there is a dark presence which is behind all of the death business of this world, and that is that great destroyer, death himself, or Satan, who is the power behind it. Satan, the arch deceiver, and all of these unbelievers having been deceived by Satan, who, because of the malignant enmity that he holds against God, desires to destroy mankind whom God loves. And worst of all, he succeeds in so beguiling and deceiving and blinding them that they do his work for them and they destroy one another, and then after that, they destroy themselves. It is Satan whose work is death. And those that love Satan love death, and those that hate God love death. But those that love God love life. What a precious gift that is that God has given to us. And how we should cherish it, and how we should share it with others, especially those of us who have received life upon life, the gift of everlasting life from Christ, who offers us freely forgiveness and life eternal if we will trust in him and repent of our sins. That is what God offers to us, and that is the life that we should be rejoicing in, exulting in, praising him for, and sharing with other people. Not only are we not supposed to be taking lives, we are supposed to be giving life to other people. And we who are lighted by that life have the power to take the gospel and through that gospel share with other people how they can come to everlasting life. Are you doing that? How many people have you brought to life eternal? How many people are walking around today as living, breathing Christians because you shared the gospel with them? Ah, dear friend, let us get hold of this thing called life that God has created and that Christ came that we might have, and that we might have abundantly, we might have it eternally. That's what Christianity is all about, life, not death. This is where our celebration must center, in him who is life incarnate and who offers life to all that would trust in him. Have you discovered that life? Do you have everlasting life through Jesus Christ? Have you received that gift? Do you know that you're going to live forever? If not, you can know that. You must know that. That's the only thing you can't afford to leave this world without knowing. You can know it by simply trusting in his atoning death, by realizing that it was there for you that he died, that it was your sins that he was paying for, and resting in him alone for your salvation, accept that gift which he offers so wonderfully by his grace. Have you done that? Would you do that today? Would you want to receive life everlastingly? Life where all pain is done away. And I would not make light of pain. I know that life is always not easy. I know that sometimes it can be very painful indeed. I know that personally as well. I have had easily my share of pain. I rarely know a day without pain. I had more pain this morning than I knew how to even handle. But I did not decide to throw my life back in the face of God. I did not decide to desert my post because of that. The scripture said through the Apostle Paul that the sufferings of this world are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. Ah, what glories he has for us in that world where there will be no more tears, no more sorrow, no more death, no more pain. But God uses those sufferings and those trials and those sorrows and that pain in this life to perfect us and to purify us and to make us into what he wants us to be. Oh, let us not be cowards, deserting our post, flinging the gift of life back in the face of God. But let us cling to it and pray that God will use every part of it for our own good, knowing his promise that he will turn everything that comes to us to our good, and therefore we can rest comfortably in his hands. Have you said that, Lord, I don't care what comes to me. I know it comes from a loving Father's hand. And I trust that you will give me the grace to endure whatever it is. And I will do it for your glory, as a witness for you. How many people have been brought to Christ by the endurance, the faithful, loving endurance of those who have trusted in a God who has promised to ultimately deliver them from that, and also has promised that He would allow nothing to come which is more than they're able to bear. How marvelous are the promises of Christ, and how blind are the unbelievers of this world who are madly in love with death and are blind to God and a future world. But let us share the gospel with them. Let them receive that gift of life and rejoice evermore with us in it. May we pray. Father, we thank Thee for the life which You have given us, the physical life, and more than that, even the spiritual life, the everlasting life that You've given us as a gift from Christ. And we thank You, Lord, that whatever has come to us in this world has come through the filter of Your grace and has come with a guarantee that You have promised to transform it unto our good. And in that promise we rest. In Thy name, amen.
I hope you just prayed that prayer with Dr. Kennedy sincerely from your heart. And if you did, you've just begun an incredible adventure. To help you get started in this new life, we'd like to send you Beginning Again, a book written by Dr. Kennedy for new believers. It includes the Gospel of John, which is a great place to begin reading the New Testament. In these pages, you'll also learn about prayer and how to study God's Word. To receive Beginning Again, just write to our address or call our toll-free number. God bless you as you do.
What a powerful message of perseverance through suffering by the grace of God. And these are not mere words offered from a position of ease. Dr. Kennedy himself knew suffering. He had a number of physical ailments that caused him to be in almost constant pain right up to the very end of his life. Understanding the truth of the purposes of God in suffering allowed him to endure it and be incredibly fruitful in ministry. If you would like a copy of this message on DVD or CD for yourself or to share with someone else, we'll be glad to send it to you as our thanks for a generous donation of any amount to the ongoing work of this ministry. Simply write to us at Box 6087, Albert Lea, Minnesota, 56007, or call toll-free 888-633-1728, or go online to djameskennedy.org. Your donation will also help continue broadcasting these powerful, biblical, and gospel-filled messages to as many people as possible. I'm Frank Wright. Thanks for joining us on Kennedy Classics. We'll see you next time.
This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.